Put those four fingers up. Fourth and final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Wednesday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Let's head to Omaha. Omaha, Omaha, where Peyton Manning was, by the way. Speaking of that, yesterday during the Vols game, he was in Omaha at the College World Series. But tonight, it'll be Vanderbilt and Stanford. All eyes on that one because the loser goes home. Hopefully it will not be Vanderbilt. It'll be a team in the Pac-12. And now joining us, Andrew Allegretta, who is on the line with us. He'll be doing play-by-play next year for Vanderbilt baseball. I think he's doing the color with Kevin. We had Kevin on last week. Big announcement. Both of you guys put it out there on social media. So let me start off by telling you, Andrew, congratulations on the Vanderbilt gig.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it. You know, I've kind of said the same stuff for about a week at this point, but I'm truly grateful to be here for a lot of different reasons. But first and foremost, that the first thing I get to do is fly to Omaha and work the College World Series. That's not so bad.
Yeah, and hopefully this stay will continue past tonight.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a crazy, crazy game on Monday night where Jack Leiter has one mistake. It was just one pitch in the fifth inning, and that's it. After striking out 15. And still not good enough. And Vanderbilt gets shut out for the first time the entire season. And it couldn't come on a bigger stage because we all have seen the stats, Andrew, when you start off 2-0. And 25 out of the last 30 national champs have started off 2-0. And what it means trying to now fight out of the loser's bracket. But how do you think this Vanderbilt team will put that behind them and try to get going back in the right direction tonight against Stanford?
Well, I'm sure it starts with the guy at the top, right? I mean, if there's anybody that's as good at this in terms of turning the page, it's Tim Corbin and his crew. I mean, they've been able to do this consistently throughout the years, and I recognize that I'm sort of jumping in as the car is speeding along here, but, you know, watching from afar, the ability for Vanderbilt over the years to move past and progress these sort of things is remarkable, and it's sort of one of a kind. So I would expect nothing other than just a first-class performance from these guys. They've got to get the bats going, and they understand that. But, you know, I think it's a little bit interesting to sit back and go, oh, the bats are, oh, the poor bats. This is still a Vanderbilt team that finished first in the SEC in batting average. So you're not going to keep these guys down all that long.
No doubt about it. Has Corbs tipped his hand on who's going to be on the bump tonight?
If he has, I promise you, I'm not the person that knows. I don't know. I mean, you would figure it's either Little or Riley, right? I mean,
right.
It's probably going to be one of those two guys. Which one? I'm not sure. And to be quite frank, I've got no earthly idea to even venture a guess.
Little is still 17 years old, is he not?
I believe he is. That's my understanding. If he's turned 18, it's happened. If he's turned 18, it's happened like within the past few weeks.
Could you imagine? I mean, when I was 17, to be put, if he indeed is the starter tonight on this stage at 17, man, I would have peed down my leg before first pitch, without a doubt. I would have never been prepared for a spot like that. But obviously, he has stepped up big. He did it, you know, on the journey here to Omaha. But what do you think is the biggest challenge Vanderbilt is facing tonight against this Cardinal team?
First off, I'm laughing at the notion of the things that I was doing when I was 17 and how just the juxtaposition between that and potentially throwing in Omaha is laughable. It's just absolutely and utterly laughable. In terms of tonight, you know, things that you could circle and for fans to pay attention to, it's the fact that they've been able to pop teams for huge innings, and they kind of demoralize you. Against Arizona, they had a 7-run inning. Against Texas Tech, in a really surprising regional, because Texas Tech is a good team in Lubbock under like a 1,000-degree heat. Stanford had 2 4-run innings and a 5th-run inning in those two games. And then the week prior in the regional against UC Irvine, they had 2 7-run innings. So whatever it is, proverbial baseball sort of stuff, cliche baseball sort of stuff, but if you stay away from the crooked number tonight, I think Vanderbilt's probably in good shape, but that is what Stanford has done over the past 2 weeks, is they've crushed team spirits with a huge inning.
We're talking to Andrew Allegretta. He'll be joining our man Kevin Ingram in the broadcast booth tonight. And Andrew, I got a chance to hear you guys for a few innings. We were up at our tournament in Indiana, and I have to admit, I did try to get the video feed on my phone to watch ESPN, but in Kokomo, Indiana, that wasn't coming in. So you guys on the app coming in loud and clear. So I felt like I was at the game anyway. It was awesome. And so, Andrew, I don't know if you'd been to Omaha before, but it sounded great just to have a great baseball broadcast with that kind of crowd behind you. You know, as an announcer, when you have a great crowd behind you, you become a much better announcer. So what was it like to on your first Vanderbilt broadcast?
I mean, it's been absolutely the best. We get 20,000 people for every game that I'm going to do, right? Like, that's how that works from here on out. I get 20,000 folks for every single thing that I do. No, I mean, like, this environment has been good for the soul, I think. And this whole week has been good for everybody's soul. I was talking with Ryan McGee of ESPN up in the press box, and one of the things that he was telling me, because he always goes out and gets these great little anecdotes about the fans and the environment, and he's just such a really good reporter in that regard. He said everybody's happy. It doesn't matter what people have run into. Like, they're doing mobile ticketing in Omaha for the first time ever. And there's been a bunch of glitches. So, like, if you've watched the television broadcast and people are slow getting in the building, it might just because, one, they're turning the stadium over from game one to game two, and two, because it's mobile ticketing and there's just been some technology glitches. Nobody cares. You know what? Your ice cream melts in 100-degree heat. Nobody cares. We're just happy to be here watching baseball around folks just like us that love watching college baseball. Just the overall mood of this place, it's been heartwarming, to put it bluntly.
Andrew, you come to this job. You spent some time at Tulane, and it's interesting. At Tulane, they had a really good baseball season this past year, and Trent Jewett, who was under Tim Corbin for a long time, is the head coach of that program. So I'm guessing from afar you had a pretty decent backdrop on the way Tim Corbin runs the program. So you could, as you said, you know, you're sort of catching the moving train here. You're jumping in on broadcasts after the whole season's gone by.
It's been funny for me, guys, quite candidly, because, you know, I'd watch Coach Jewett do his thing down at Tulane. I'd be like, oh, that's kind of unique. They do senior day spread out through the middle of innings. I don't think I've seen anybody else kind of do that before. Or, you know, the guys are going to wear certain things on certain times. That's kind of unique. And then I get here and I go, oh, no. That's just, all of that is Corbinism. So I've learned really fast that Coach Stewart down there at Tulane has embodied and modeled himself off of someone that he considers to be the biggest, if not, you know, one of, if not the biggest mentors in his entire life. So to kind of get a test run these past couple of years at the way Coach Corbin wants to run his program through Coach Jewett down at Tulane has been a nice soft landing, I suppose.
When we watched the game the other night, the television, as you can imagine, they were very fixated on Al Leiter. Almost, it seemed like after every pitch, it was like, okay, give the guy a break, let the guy watch the game, you know, without having to see his reaction on every pitch. But what did you see from where you guys were sitting, Andrew, about the makeup of the crowd? It's such a unique atmosphere in that you've got your cross section of Vanderbilt fans that make the trip, the cross section of fans from the other team that are there, and then there's this mix of people just scattered about. But when you have a guy like Jack Leiter and the name and all the backdrop, I just wonder how many people were sort of in his corner watching that game.
You know, that's a good question. I'll say this, maybe the most surprising fan base, especially if you're in the SEC in terms of how well they travel, is NC State. They're so overlooked in the Research Triangle by Duke and North Carolina. The Tar Heels run that state. Duke is the big brand, and poor NC State just gets absolutely dumped on consistently, and they're kind of a chip-on-the-shoulder fan base. And the reason I bring that up is, you know, I think a lot of people would have been in Jack Leiter's corner throughout the course of that game with the way that he was throwing. The problem is, NC State fans will load up the wagons if it at all resembles drinking or winning, and they're doing those things at the moment. So I don't know that it was this overly compelled crowd just for Jack, simply because of the opponent.
We're talking to Andrew Allegretta, who is the Vanderbilt broadcaster, one of the new voices of the Commodores. And as you know, we obviously, all the focus is on baseball, but you're entering a time here at Vanderbilt, Andrew, where there seems to be a more hope and optimism than there really has been in a long time due to leadership that's involved, whether it's Candace Lee in the athletic department or Chancellor Dearmeyer. How exciting is it for you to go into the football season with a new head coach in Clark Lee and knowing that things are on the horizon that are going to help make football and athletics even better?
Yeah, another one of the reasons certainly that I feel fortunate to be in the position that I am, and I don't take it for granted. Certainly $200 million in the bank and driving for $300 million with the leadership of Dr. Lee and Chancellor Dearmeyer. It's a nice moment to jump on the train, and certainly to have the baseball program sitting there doing what it's doing is, you know, it sort of feels like stars aligned, guys. And if you don't know this, part of the reason why I'm so overjoyed and passionate to be here is, like, yes, this is a professional opportunity to me that I've worked for, you know, not forever in a day, and I've been very lucky in my career, but, you know, long enough. But at the same time, my wife is from the region. We've got a one-year-old son, so there's this synergy between what Vanderbilt has going with their leadership at the moment, the professional opportunity that this is, and the family opportunity that this is. So, yeah, you know, it checks a lot of boxes, and again, I'm just kind of appreciative at the moment more than anything.
Is it kind of fun to know that you can kind of grow along with, you know, the football program specifically because Coach Lee just taking over, but having that being able to ride that of, hey, we're kind of starting at the bottom with a new program and working our way up?
Yeah, I sure hope so. You know, the comparison that my brain would go to just because of my own background is there's a gentleman by the name of Bill Ross who's been a mentor of mine. He works for ESPN now, but he was 27 years at Virginia Tech, and I started my career at Virginia Tech as well. And he jumped on the Virginia Tech bandwagon the year that Frank Beamer got there. And he rode that from football independence and football total irrelevancy to Michael Vick and the national championship in the Big East and the ACC. You know, Vanderbilt certainly has the advantage of already being in the SEC. But, you know, if I can do anything and be along for the ride in the same way that Bill was, I would consider that one heck of a parallel with someone that meant so much to me and Bill.
Well, it's awesome to get to at least meet you over the phone, get to talk to you. We hope meet you in person very soon because your games will be as a part of our radio cluster on Classic Hits 93.3. So good to talk to you. We'll do it again very soon.
Yeah, by all means. Hopefully we're here for at least another week. Fingers crossed here tonight against the Cardinals.
Absolutely. He is Andrew Allegretta. He is a part of the baseball broadcast, but joining Vanderbilt as their football play-by-play man as well. And appreciate him taking the time to join us. We'll have much more coming here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.